My name's Jan Jays, and I'm about to interview David Banks on behalf of the Oral History Society. It's the 22nd of December today, 2014. Okay, David, can you tell me a little bit about your family?
Well, We've never been ones for going back very far, but Stephen now has told me that he's found an Edward Banks, who was born in 1815 in Bilson, but I've never heard of him. But he must have been the father, I think, of Thomas Banks, who was born in about 1840. We don't know really too much about him. We don't know what he did, but we think that he was involved in somewhere in the agricultural world. He lived at Astley Town first of all, but later on he moved to Sintley Farm, Astley, which was a tenanted farm on the Okehampton estate. And there, or before, he had 8 children, the youngest of which was G. Herbert Banks, and which is my grandfather. And he was the one who did the best in the family, and in the process of this interview, I think you want to bring me to bring in something about the history of G. Herbert Banks the
yes.
firm. So he, being the youngest of 8 children, set up his own business in 1898. We think first of all in Bewdley. It might have been Tenbury, but we think it's Bewdley. But soon after went to Kidderminster, which was the main office right through until 1987, when we sold out to GA, but we'll come on to that at a later date. Thomas Banks, my great-grandfather, I think probably did quite well because it had a very large cross, ostentatious cross in the old Astley churchyard, which gives his age of dying in 1906, 66 years. And there are quite a lot of additions on the surround of that gravestone relating to members of the family. George Herbert Banks was born on the 14th July 1878 at Sintley Farm, Astley. So we know that that was where Thomas Banks must have lived when he was born. As I said, he set up his firm at the age of 20, which was very young. He was the youngest member of the family. We think he got married to Kate Machin in about 1908, whose father had been a very successful hardware business in Moseley. And they started a family in 1910. When Joan Banks, who's just recently died at the age of 104, she was the first of 5 girls. My father was the only son, and he was born in 1914. The family lived in various places at that time. We think, first of all, Weather Lane Farm, Astley Burgh, then Sandhampton Farm, where father was born, that's Tony Banks. Then they moved to Foxhall Farm, which is opposite the Hill House Farm. And then eventually they bought the Hill House Farm in 1927, where the family have been ever since, and where Aunt Joan recently died. As a matter of interest, my grandfather was actually asked to sell the Hill House Farm in 1925. By a chap called Proudman, who we think had purchased as a tenant off the Dudley estate, but he couldn't make a go of things. It was the Depression then. He was absolutely bankrupt. And 3 years after grandfather's asked to sell it for him, Mr. Proudman said to my grandfather, "Well, Mr. Banks, if you can't sell it, you'll have to buy it off me." So grandfather bought it off him, and it was 220 acres with a very good house and buildings and 3 cottages for a princely sum of £3,500. which is unbelievable, really. But in those days, that was, you know, quite a lot of money. In 1927, I've got a catalogue, property portfolio, and he had, it was either 68 or 72 farms and small holdings on the market at that time. And everybody was trying to sell out because they could not make ends meet. All the tenants on the Dudley estate couldn't pay any rent, so he forgave the rent on the basis that instead of paying rent, they would have to take their horse and cart to Starport Station to collect the coal to feed the boilers at Whitley Court. And that had been going on for some years, actually. So it was amazing, really, how bad things were at that time. Now, going back to grandfather G. Hope Banks' family, as I said, he had five daughters and one son, being my father, Tony. Three of the daughters eventually got married. Ruth got married to Arthur Field, who farmed at Tenbury. Margaret married Bill Rendell, who worked for British Land at Coventry. And Isabel, the youngest girl, married Peter Harrison, who was a London architect. Joan and Honor never got married. They never had a job. They lived at the Hill House, did a bit of farming. Honor died in 2000, and when she was in her late 80s. And Aunt Joan carried on till 2014, when she was 104, which is quite an amazing feat. Rattling around in quite a large 8-bedroom house, she did end up having a carer, which was a good thing. Going back, George Herbert Banks, he died in October 1946, at quite an early age, 68. And his widow lived with Aunt Joan and Aunt Honor at the Hill House, doing farming and having a peaceful life. In those days, my grandmother, Kate Banks, they were quite well provided for with staff in the house. And two particular people spring to mind were Mrs. Priest, Ma Priest, you'd known, who lived at Snuffy Row, and then Mrs. Cartwright, came on later, who's a fantastic person, and is still alive today, although she's not very well. My father, Tony Banks, joined his father in business in the late 20s, and he was living at the Hill House until his marriage to Joan Neal in February 1941. Joan lived at the Bank House, Stamford Bridge, which is a large Queen Anne house. I think they met when my mother came and worked on the farm here at Hill House, like many other land girls did. They all had to muck in. And I dare say they got behind the haystack, and that's how things revolved from there. Her father, Joan, my mother's father, was a chap called Roland Neal, who was a pretty successful Black Country industrialist, who ran a firm called Radiot and made Loring car lamps for other and other accessories for the motor trade. He actually retired at 42 and lived pretty well. Because I remember he had a chauffeur-driven Bentley and also full-time groom and other staff. And one of the girls who worked in the house was Eddie Taylor's wife from Taylors and Marty, you know, the big transport firm. It's all interesting. Employed a lot of people locally. When father and mother got married, they lived at the Grove Farm, which is at Dunley, just down the road from the Hill House Farm, which grandfather bought for them. And they lived there until they had too many children, because we were one of five. And in 1958, we moved to a bigger house at Wichenford, where mother still lives. Over there, my father bought two adjoining farms, And my brother William, who's the second in our family, still farms those and lives over there. I had another brother, Andrew, unfortunately died at 40 of a brain thing like CJD. Sally, my oldest sister, married Nick Chambers, retired judge. And Susan, my sister, who's Susan McLean, works at my PA in this office, very good. And her husband, John McLean, who's now retired, was a director of one of the carpet companies in Kidderminster. So that is basically the history of the family as I know it.
You've used the word land agent as opposed to estate agents.
Well, in our profession, the only property qualification has to be a chartered surveyor. But a lot of people get fused by the word chartered surveyor and they think all we can do is to survey and go out and measure things with tape. Mm. The Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors is a senior professional institute, or institution, I should say. There used to be the auctioneering institution, and then there's the agricultural values institution as well, of which I'm also a fellow. But it covers a multitude of sins, being a chartered surveyor. If you're a pure estate agent, you probably aren't qualified at all. If you're a land agent, there used to be land agents exams per se, but that's all in with the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors now. The base of the firm was very much based on an agricultural firm going back to the 1900s, because there weren't many houses. People didn't move like that. And so my grandfather was basically doing tenant right, i.e. if a tenant was moving out of a farm, he acted for a tenant or the landlord, usually the tenant. Because when a tenant went out, the landlord could dilapidate the tenant if the land was in a poor state. Right. Or he could give something to the tenant for good husbandry and take to the crops that were growing in the ground when he went out. So there was quite a lot of valuation work to do when there was a change of tenancy, of which there were a lot in those. As time moved on, there were less tenanted farms, more farms came owner-occupied, as the big estates were sold up and fragmented. Most of the tenant farmers managed to buy, and so that work wasn't about. Kidderminster Cattle Market was the great thing that got grandfather going, because when he started a business, Knock Josephson's in Kidderminster ran Kidderminster Market, which was owned by the Kidderminster Corporation, who leased it out to Knock Josephson. Grandfather somehow managed to wheedle his way in and eventually knock them out of business because you were allowed to compete. So fairly soon, I would think in the 1920s or 30s, grandfather had sole use of Kidderminster Market, which he paid rent to the council, but he built it up tremendously to one of the best cattle markets in the country. Mm-hmm. But I only did it until about 90. Well, we sold out in 1987, and I did do a couple of years after, about 1990, the last time I sold them, because by that time, in 1990, I'd set up my own business again, and I didn't have time. And then Kidderminster Market closed, because GA, who bought us out, decided it wasn't for them, and they closed it down.